He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world keepeth it unto life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We know that our Lord wept. We read of it in today's gospel. It was Palm Sunday. The procession was just about to depart. The donkey was waiting. But for a moment, our Lord stands there and surveys the scene splayed out before him, Jerusalem the golden in all of its splendor. And then he starts to cry for his own people, which does not know the things that are to its peace, that deicide, that God-killing city, and its people would soon, in a generation, be gone, destroyed by the Romans. And those two things of which they prided themselves so, their race and their religion, the race lost by intermarriage with the pagans, the religion now fulfilled in Christ, degenerated quickly into superstition and paganism. And our Lord stands there, and he knows it, and he weeps, because they did not know the time of their visitation. Surely would our Lord weep were he to return today to Jerusalem, 2,000 years later, still killing, still on the way to its inevitable redestruction. But what of today's saint, Lawrence? Have you ever heard of the phenomenon known as St. Lawrence tears? Odd, that, because our saint is known, as was our Lord, for his smiling irony. And more, St. Lawrence had a definite sense of humor, so much so that later ages would declare him the patron saint of comedians. The story of St. Lawrence, do you know it? Third century Rome, the persecutions. St. Lawrence is in charge as the archdeacon of the sick and the poor and the elderly. And for this, he had under his control as well the church's treasury, all of her wealth. He's arrested, and he's given 3 days to produce it and hand it over to the government. Well, instead of giving the money to the government, he gets rid of it by giving it to Christ's poor. And then he gathers them all together, the orphans and the blind and the cripples and so forth. And at the appointed hour, the prefect arrives and he says, "Behold, sir, these are the true treasures of the church, and she is richer, richer than your emperor." Well, the prefect was not amused, and he ordered Lawrence to be slowly roasted to death over coals that were only half lit. Just before he died, St. Lawrence is said to have smiled and remarked, "Well, I'm done now on this side. You can flip me over and serve me." And that's why the church has a sense of humor too. He's patron saint of cooks. As I come down the hill from the little hill from my rectory, sometimes in the morning to get to the early mass, my eye always goes to this old grate. It must be a sewer cover, I suppose. It's propped up outside the garage out there in the parking lot. But whenever I pass it, I always think of St. Lawrence and his gridiron, some great big man-sized grate, and those slow coals of his martyrdom and his sense of humor. But Catholic culture gives St. Lawrence tears. Every year, these days around his feast, August the 10th, are marked by a meteor shower. They say this year it will peak before dawn on Tuesday, the 12th. A comet coming from the constellation Perseus casts off its debris like shooting stars. They're called the Perseids, or St. Lawrence tears, named still today for this Catholic feast day. This is a precious example of Catholic culture still pervading all of the sciences in every part of our life. Although they say that if St. Lawrence wept, he would have wept for mirth, and that outer space is not showered with tears of grief or of fear. St. Lawrence, who hated his life in this world, kept it unto life eternal. And the joke is on the pagan and the Jew and the agnostic and the atheist, for whom this life is everything. And Lawrence in heaven laughed so hard that once a year his tears splash over the Milky Way. It's a stretch, I know, but I wonder if he, had he been alive today, would have texted at this point, YOLO, to somebody. Well, yes and no. I can't imagine saints as tweeters, not by a long shot. One of the fathers in the parish, who's a father of teenagers, told me about this very popular acronym or abbreviation, which stands for You Only Live Once, YOLO. It's a considerably less elegant way to say, with a cavalier poet, I shall not pass this way again, or gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Romans said memento mori, or carpe diem. In a word, therefore, make it count. It's something all correct children today, in what passes for culture, who are, of course, equipped with cell phones, I think that's mandatory, would tweet out by way of congratulations or approbation when they or their companions don't study or get drunk or drive too fast. It's another way of saying, go for it. A carefree tag to explain an impulsive choice, something stupid or sinful, or sometimes just silly. YOLO, you only live once. But what of great things? What of living for them? Or in the case of St. Lawrence, G-R-A-T-E things. And therefore overcoming some burning torture, a temptation maybe, a temptation too humiliating for you ever to talk about with anyone else outside of confession, much less to tweet about to others. Or pain. What about living with pain acute of the mind or of your soul, or pain in your body, day after day, which seems to consume you in its exhausting flames? Or even to suffer for the faith, the red-faced shame of being shunned by others, made fun of for your Catholic faith, maybe because they spotted your scapular or know that you go to church on Sunday, and all of the rest. Or today, still, to lose everything, to have to walk away from your home, from a business you've spent your lifetime building up, from all of your life. Could you even imagine that? Or to see your children murdered before your very eyes, perhaps by Muslim invaders, decapitated, because you will not apostatize from your Christian faith. What answer could you give were anything vaguely like that to happen to you, except an assured smile through your tears, a shrug, and one last tweet before you go? YOLO, you only live once. How could it last? How bad could it be in comparison with eternity? Because in another sense, you know, YOLO is a lie. We're in it for the long run, per omnia saecula saeculorum, through all ages of ages. Listen, we live twice. When this life ends, with its property and its cares and its pains and its pleasures, eternal life, which already began at baptism, will fully kick in forever and ever. And so it's not true that you're once and you're over and out. You don't just live once. You live forever and ever. And now, pause for a moment. Say I don't know how they manage that. They do it with their thumbs, I think. Okay, your thumbs are on your little cell phone, the keyboard, and you're just about to send out some very important message, no doubt. But ask instead of informing somebody. Ask with St. Bernard of Clairvaux, quid hoc aeternitatem? What is this thing that seems so important to me that I'm thinking about and tweeting about during dinner or something? What is this in the light of eternity? And if you do get up or stay up and go out Tuesday morning early before dawn to see St. Lawrence Tears, they say, don't look all the way up. Look about halfway up towards heaven to get the best view. But as you're doing the looking up towards heaven, remember what happened to St. Ignatius once when he stood out there gazing up heavenward. He said, when I look at heaven, how cheap earth becomes. And then, in the quiet of the pre-dawn darkness, look around you and remember, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world keepeth it unto life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.